from Louisville Public Media. Louisville Land Bank Authority acquires properties that have been abandoned. Then they sell the properties to new owners cheap, sometimes just for a dollar. The new owners have a year and a half to fix up the properties and bring them up to code. Mayor Fisher calls the program a win for neighbors and says abandoned properties cause problems that go beyond their own yards.
Now, a lot of these properties fall into disrepair and become havens for activity that the neighborhoods and the neighbors certainly do not want to see.
So we looked at data that goes back to 2010. And in that time, there's been 316 properties sold from the land bank. Like 30% of those properties are currently sitting vacant.
Jake Ryan from the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting joins us today to tell us what's going on with those former land trust houses that are still empty and how they affect the neighborhoods around them. Today on Recut, I'm Jonice Franklin.
I'm blessed. I got a great life. Yeah. You know, I just got this house next door.
That's Ralph Thomas. He lives on West Galbert in the Algonquin neighborhood, next to a house that was acquired by the land bank last December.
I said, well, somebody's going to get the property. They're going to bring it up. You know, hopefully I get a good neighbor.
A company called Mirage Properties bought the house. They had 6 months to fix up the outside of the house and 18 months to fix up the inside.
As you can see, they've done a very minimum to the property, if anything. And as you see, it's a horrible condition. It's an eyesore. It's unhealthy. You know, I have grandkids. They come over, they play. You know, can you imagine your kids out here playing, the ball goes over next door, and the weeds, no telling what you may find. It's not a very good look at all. And I'm still without a good neighbor.
The mission of the land bank is to get neglected properties, abandoned properties, back into productive use, which means occupied, maintained, and paying taxes. Because these houses, since they have tax liens, they haven't paid taxes. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of money that's just sitting there, and they're trying to get that back on the tax roll. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to get people to buy these properties, and they sell them for super, super cheap, sometimes as low as a dollar. And then with the promise that these buyers will get the properties back up into a productive use. They'll pay taxes on them. They'll keep them clean and maintained.
So if I buy a property from the land bank,
right,
what do I have to do?
It depends. They have a few different programs within the land bank itself. So these are kind of the things you might be most visual to you. If you drive around these neighborhoods, you see the burned out house, right? You see the boards on the doors and stuff like that. And a lot of those homes might be candidates to be demolished, right? They might fit the criteria in which the city could demolish it. But instead of demolishing it, they'll offer it up to somebody for a dollar. And they'll say, you can have this for a dollar if you do a certain number of things. One, keep the grass cut. Two, maintain the property just in general to the property maintenance code and fix it up. So within a year and a half, you should be able to rent this house out or sell it, or it should be a livable space, right? So that's usually what they have to do. There's other programs like a side yard program where if you live on the same block as someone, or if you live on the same block as just a vacant empty lot, you can have that for, I think it's $500. You can have that for $500 as long as you promise to cut the grass.
How do these houses become vacant in the first place?
Each year the city makes this list of vacant and abandoned properties. And then the land bank authority has the ability to kind of go down that list and look at and be like, okay, so we would like to, you know, we're going to foreclose on these houses right here, or these properties. They're not all houses. Some are just like empty lots. They'll foreclose on these properties. And for the foreclosure process takes like 6 months, 9 months. You know, it's a really slow process because it's a court process. So people get due process. Right? And they'll try to reach out to everybody that has an iota of ownership or interest in this house. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times it's people who have died and just didn't have a will. So when you talk to people at the city that work for the land bank and you ask them, like, well, how can we prevent vacant properties? They're like, the number one thing is, like, get your stuff in order. You know what I'm saying? Like, get a will together. You know what I'm saying? Figure out who's going to take the house and who's going to maintain the house and stuff. So they're not really like walking up to somebody's house and just nailing a foreclosure thing on the door while the kids are playing outside. You know, these are houses that really are really, really, really bad shape. And so then they'll foreclose on them. And also sometimes, like, when somebody dies, they'll leave a busted house to somebody, you know what I'm saying? And that person doesn't want to take care of it, so they'll just donate it to the city. Mm. And that's a way to get rid of those tax liens as well, or code violation liens as well. So if You know, some of the properties we looked at had thousands and thousands of dollars of code violations, and they could donate that and get rid of those code violations, and the city can also absolve those when they take it.
Let's talk about the company that bought the house next door to Ralph Thomas.
The company that bought more houses than anybody this last fiscal year was this company called Mirage Properties, LLC. And Mirage Properties, they claim to own and manage 800 rental units in the West End, like 350 single-family homes, and the rest are like multifamily apartments.
Wow.
So one might say that their motivation for buying these properties is to increase their rental portfolio. And in a brief interview with the owner of Mirage Properties, James Michael Burkhead III, he said that his goal was to get these properties for very cheap. He bought 25 properties last fiscal year. He bought them all for a dollar.
Wow.
They're all single family homes. His idea was to fix them up and then rent them out.
Did he?
No, not all of them. Some of them he has started work on.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the homes that he's bought, he hasn't fixed up. You know, they're still sitting there. I mean, some of them look like they've been in the bottom of like a fire pit.
Why buy those and not do anything with them?
Well, he says that, so conflicting reasons as to why. The city, the Land Bank Authority, says that he's had trouble clearing the titles, and then once he got them, he realized that there were a lot more work than he expected them to be. Mm. But he says that he just can't find people to work in the West End.
Really?
Yeah.
When all of his properties are in the West End?
Yeah, he says that he can't find people that want to go work in the West End. He says that he just can't find people that will go into the West End to work, or people that are there.
Who works on his other properties, I wonder?
I don't know. You know, he owns 800, or he manages 800 units, so you would imagine that he has a crew, or
at least has
access to people that could work.
I don't think it's like one dude in a truck.
So who knows, like, what the real holdup is. And that's, like, the whole title thing is also super interesting.
When you say title, like, you mean, like...
So the title issue is really interesting. So when the land bank forecloses on a property and they acquire a property through foreclosure, a foreclosure can clear the title. It's supposed to clear the title of any liens, because what happens is that third parties, banks and lawyers and people like that, will buy the tax liens, right? Mm-hmm. So say you haven't paid your taxes in a couple years, you owe a bunch of back taxes. I'm a company. I'll be like, hey, I'll pay some of those taxes for you. You know, I'll pay those taxes. So I'll pay them to the school district, or I'll pay, you know, the individual taxes. And then you're indebted to me. And then I have a say on your property. So when your property gets foreclosed on, well, I'm still owed some money. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
But a foreclosure legally makes those liens unenforceable. So I can't take the city to court once they foreclose on your property anymore, right?
So he shouldn't have trouble with the titles.
Well, the city says that even though these third parties are legally required to clear those liens, it rarely happens. It rarely happens because it's tough. It's because third parties, either they're dissolved and they no longer exist, or they're just like really hard to get a hold of. And they're like, nah, we don't want to do that. We don't have the time or the interest in doing that. And so the city, it's nuanced. It really is. But the city is technically selling properties with liens on the titles, you know what I'm saying? Which sometimes the attorneys for... So Mirage, the city says that Mirage's lender for these projects won't release the money to fix up the properties because there's liens on the title. The city attorney, or the city legal advisor on this, says that that's kind of up to each lender's attorney. Like, some people are like, yeah, you know, it's unenforceable, let's go ahead and do it. Some, though, are like, well, no, the title has a lien on it. We don't trust that. You know what I'm saying? We have to ensure that everything's going to be okay. And so they say that Mirage is having trouble with their lenders getting the money, although Mirage is supposed to show proof of funding to do all of this before they get the properties.
Did they not do that? Or
I have not got a response from the city on that yet. I was asked to see how they showed proof of funds. It's unclear if they just show like a bank statement saying that they have all the money that's necessary, or if they have to show that they have them. I don't know.
I mean, are you talking about money to fix up the homes or money just to purchase them?
To fix up.
Okay, yeah, so you're not talking about like bought a bunch of homes for a dollar.
No. I mean, I have that in my wallet.
Right,
I have
right.
20, you know, 25 bucks and get 25 homes.
Yeah. So you have to prove that you have the money to fix these up.
Yeah, which can cost thousands of dollars.
I mean,
some of these homes are so bad. Like, you know, foundation issues. And then you might ask, well, why did you buy the properties not knowing how much it would cost? But, you know, if one of the reasons is they were much worse than we thought, well, why didn't you inspect it?
Jake reached out to James Michael Burkhead III, the owner of Mirage Properties.
He was really tough to get in touch with for a couple weeks. And then I went to his office, which is on River Park Drive over in Shawnee. I went to his office and asked for them to leave a message. And then I went out and from the street or the sidewalk, I took pictures of his office just so we could have for the story. And then later that night at like 9 o'clock, he called me on my cell phone. I was taking my trash out and answered the phone. And he was, you know, genuinely surprised that I'd answered the phone so late. And I was happy to talk with him because I've been trying to get in touch with him. And so we talked briefly a little bit about like what was the holdup with him renovating these properties. And then he agreed to meet me the next day at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so then I went out because he wanted to show me a house that he was fixing up. And so I was like, yeah, let's go. I'd love to bring my recorder. You know, I told him I was going to record it and get a scene, like an audio scene of him doing this. And he said, sure, come on. So I meet him at this property over in Woodland Avenue. And we park like in this empty parking lot, this old rundown gas station or something across the street. And we park. And by the time I park my truck, he's like by my door, right? And so I'm putting on all my gear, all my radio gear, which, you know, it's got headphones and dangly recorder and a huge microphone. And we start talking for like 4.5 minutes. And he's trying to explain to me why some of these property maintenance cases might be open. And which I understand, like, yeah, some of these property maintenance cases were before he bought them.
Sure.
And then I was like, yeah, but I'm also interested in the property maintenance cases that were put on your property after you bought them, since you've had them.
You know, looking at the properties, some have gotten new violations since they've been acquired. Mm-hmm. Some of your properties have new violations mm-hmm. since they've been acquired. Some have new violations.
Are you recording?
This is always on. Yeah, I guess I should have told you. But yeah, this is always on. Some have new violations, you know, as recent as July. And
why didn't you tell me that was recording?
Well, you can see it. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's always on. But radio station is always on. But some of these properties have new violations since.
You have a choice. You can take the facts, whatever you want to take.
Uh-huh.
You can make me look bad or not.
Okay.
So it's your choice. You didn't tell me that was recording. I'm done.
Well, no, sir. I'm sorry. Hang on. Mr. Burkhead, hang on a second. I can turn it off if you want to have a conversation, but
yep.
When will I be able to turn it back on? If
I give you 5 seconds to turn it off, I'll leave.
I'll turn it off, but you understand I work for a radio station.
Look, I'm turning it off. You didn't even give me 5 seconds. Look, it's off.
The land bank has the authority to take houses back if the buyer doesn't hold up their end of the bargain. But that's only happened once since 2010, the earliest data Jake looked at. Back on Galbert Street, Ralph Thomas says he's not sure that's the solution for the house next door.
If the land bank takes it back, what's next? Do they wait again till the next big auction comes along, however long that's going to be?
Yeah.
Then you're going to give them another 6 months to a year to do something, and then they don't do it.
But he does have another idea.
I like to see them bulldoze it. Let me have a yard, and I keep it up. I fence it off. I could see a future on expanding my backyard and sitting out there with the grill and kids playing.
Recut is produced by Louisville Public Media. Our executive producer is Laura Ellis. Our news director is Erica Peterson. Kojin Toshiro wrote our theme song. Special thanks today to reporter Jake Ryan from the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting. You can read Jake's story at kycir.org. For more information about our show, go to recut.org. I'm Joni Franklin. Thanks for listening.